Hello, my name is Richard.
My name is Kirsten. Hi.
Hi, Kirsten. So today we're going to talk about Avebury, traveling and experience in the Avebury Monument. So this is an Avebury chit chat. Now, Kirsten, quick question. Everyone loves to go on a tour outside of London, and everyone's kind of go-to or the household name is always Stonehenge, isn't it?
It sure is. It's the big famous one. But not too far away, only about 45 minutes drive, is Avebury, which is another stone circle, because that whole area of southeast England, the county of Wiltshire, is full of Neolithic monuments. So there's about, 500 altogether. There may be more that haven't been found. And so you can have a day out, a Neolithic day out in pretty Wiltshire.
Great. So what you're saying is that Stonehenge, which is a household name, isn't the only kind of special monument that we have in Avebury. There's much more than meets the eye with Wiltshire and monuments.
There's Avebury, there's West Kennet Long Barrow, Silbury Hill, and Stonehenge, and then all the parts around Stonehenge. So they always call it like the Avebury landscape or the Stonehenge landscape, because Stonehenge, yes, you have the standing stones, but if you look out on the horizon, there's loads of burial mounds and other little monuments that go with the whole area. So the whole area is full of it.
Okay, great. So Wiltshire is Monument Central. So I guess to help our listeners kind of get a feel and understanding of Avebury as we dive into the subject, what makes, Avebury different to Stonehenge?
Well, if anyone out there is a fact fan, it's 14 times bigger than Stonehenge, with a taller and deeper bank divided into four quadrants, approached with four avenues and over 100 stones we used. So that's for the fact fans. There's some more for the fact fans if you want. Avebury is basically, it's a combination of a stone circle and a medieval village. They're kind of fused together like, Siamese twins or something. And so it's because it's in a village, it's all very open and you can just wander around through the stones. People touch the stones and hug the stones. I've seen people take off their shoes and like do some, on the floor praying at the stones and things like that. So, you can get a bit more interactive, I suppose, with Avebury.
That's a great point you mentioned. I remember when I went to Stonehenge, you could only really stand about 10, 15 meters away from it, and you kind of admire it from some standpoint away. But with Avebury, what I found amazing is that you can go up to the actual stones and actually touch them. If I'm correct, Avebury came before Stonehenge, right?
Yeah, that's what they think. Obviously, they can't carbon date the stones, but they carbon date the things they find around the stones, organic materials that they use to dig out the holes, dig out the ditch and bank, etc. And they can carbon date them. And it does seem that Avebury was built earlier than Stonehenge, and they think it's a fertility circle. Ooh la la.
Oh, very spicy. Well, if that's what makes Avebury so special so far, and it's a monument that is that was before actually Stonehenge, I guess let's look at when it was built and who built it specifically. Was it the hunter-gatherers?
Well, it was the Neolithic people. So the Western hunter-gatherers were Mesolithic. The Neolithic people had farming, but they were, small tribes all scattered around the countryside. So it is thought that these ceremonial stone circles were places where people would gather. And often the ceremony, the ritual, like we know for sure, the ceremony, the ritual time at Stonehenge was at least a week. So people would come from all around and they'd all stay in Durrington walls. And they would, obviously, this is a great opportunity for trade, for romance. You can find yourself a husband or a wife. And for all the tribes that would never have seen each other at any other time during the year, to kind of make alliances.
That's interesting. So you mentioned the ceremonial part and the community gatherings. Since we have an idea of a bit about MIFS and, you know, when it was built, let's kind of go on to the layout.
It's divided into four quadrants and had four avenues that approached it. Unfortunately, a lot of the stones have been lost on these avenues. Only one kind of really remains that you can kind of see obviously with the eye. There is one section which is thought to be the masculine section, which had the mighty obelisk standing in it. So a big, long, tall pillar of a stone. And then another section which has a cove, which is three massive stones, all set in the ground in a kind of triangle shape with a little entrance. So what does that tell you? Yeah, it's thought that it was a fertility circle. There's also a lot of these diamond-shaped stones paired up with pillar stones. So people think this is masculine, feminine, representing those two energies.
I know some of those stones have like special names, like the blacksmith stone or the fertility stone, but kind of seems like you're alluding to the MIFS. Do you want to tell me about the stones and perhaps the stories and rituals or MIFS?
The obelisk is actually where the ley line runs. So there's a magical, mystical ley line that runs kind of, well, it runs through from Cornwall through to Glastonbury, Avebury, and then out to the sea at Norwich. And you can go to the obelisk with your dowsing rods and feel the energy from the ley line. But you can also feel this ley line energy at the fertility stone, which is a low, flat, almost like altar-looking stone. And apparently this has the magical energy as well. So maybe that's where the magic happened.
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Nobody knows. It's a mystery. Okay. So we've learned a bit about the MIFS and the rituals and so far. Does that then help us to understand really just the purpose behind Avebury? Can we look at the stories and the rituals and the MIFS to help us understand the purpose of it?
Well, it was obviously very important to them. It's known as a clean site, so an archaeological term there. So you've got dirty sites and clean sites. For example, in Avebury, up on a hill kind of just outside of the stone circle is something called Windmill Hill. And when they excavate there, they find all sorts of normal everyday stuff, human poop, trash, foodstuffs, hair combs, like, you know, needles that they've made out of bones for doing all their sewing, and charcoal for the cooking, things like this. So Windmill Hill is kind of where they lived, but they don't find any of that in the ceremonial stone circle. This is a clean site. So it was obviously simply used for whatever ritual they were doing, whatever religious ceremony. Who knows? They have no writing. Well, maybe they had writing, but we have no trace of it, so we don't know.
So what you're saying is that they had bins during the prehistoric times, and they were really great at keeping their own quote-unquote streets clean.
They kept the religious places clean, but everywhere else they just threw their trash around, which is kind of good for us, because then we have evidence of where they were.
Yeah, for sure. And you touched on that point about tours and stuff like that. Was that because during those times when they kind of formed community, they also formed tools from like animal bones and stuff like that? They helped them to kind of make the stones, or am I wrong there? Or
yeah, they used deer antlers as like picks for the ground, and then they used the shoulder blades of cattle as like shovels. They used to dig the pits to put the stones in and dig the henge, so the ditch and the bank. And the shoulder blades of the cattle back then would have been huge, because they were the prehistoric cows called aurochs. And sometimes in the British Museum or in Stonehenge, they have the auroch skull. and they put a normal cow skull next to it, and the difference is like huge. The aurochs must have been massive, like massive horns and this big head.
Oh, amazing. So that means we could have got a decent steak and chips back in those days. Yep. Well, if we can genetically modify the cows to become something like those, we'll get the best steak and chips, right?
Bring back the aurochs, I say. Bring them back.
That's correct. Bring them back. That's great. So for those visiting, what kind of advice should they have? I know one thing is you want to make sure you've got an extra layer or two just in case the weather changes, but what other things could we advise to our listeners?
Weather-appropriate clothing, comfy shoes, because you'll be walking around. That view from up on the bank, you can get some really nice photos, and you can see the Red Lion Pub, of course, the haunted pub, which is nice for lunch. So if you're visiting there, you can go in there and have a nice slap-up meal. Also, sometimes the local farmers they're allowed to let the sheep graze within the stone circle. So you'll be wandering around the stone circle. You've got the stones, you've got the village, and you've got the sheep as well. So it makes it very kind of quirky and rural. And there's nowhere quite like Avebury. It's very nice.
Talking of hunter gatherers, we can't go and hunt the sheep, can we? It's off bounds. You can't do that, can you?
Well, you're not really allowed to, but they're kind of passive, so I'm sure you could catch one if you wanted.
Well, if you get inspired on your visit to Avebury,
don't kill the sheep. We're not recommending that you kill the sheep.
We wouldn't recommend that. Don't do that.
Just enjoy the farmyard feel of the place.
Yeah. That's great. Well, I mean, we visit Avebury, right, on one of our tours. That's our Stonehenge and Avebury tour. And this is a particularly great tour to visit. We spend about an hour and a bit to 2 hours at Avebury, don't we?
It's my favourite tour. Especially if it's a beautiful day and in all the seasons as well. And you can just wander through the countryside, and it's lovely, and everything links together. From our first visit to West Kennet Longbarrow, to our visit to Avebury, and then the grand finale of Stonehenge, everything, the whole story of the day makes sense and flows.
Yeah, great. That makes perfect sense. So it's almost just like a prehistoric tour. Neolithic tour, is that the correct word? Neolithic? Great. I nearly didn't get that word, by the way, listeners, but I got it. I was close. So Neolithic tour, prehistoric tour. I mean, what more could you want, right? Well, on this tour, just don't kill the sheep. Yeah, don't do that, guys. And you didn't hear it from us. Well, what we do know, on that tour, there's a comfortable coach. We have a guide. And on this tour, all entries are covered in the ticket. And we pick up from 3 central places in London, making it easy. So it's a round trip. Thank you for listening. But let us know what you loved about this first episode of our chit chat about tours. Is there anything you want us to include? Anything you didn't like? Give us some great feedback. We'll love that. But thank you so much for joining me and
Kirsten.
Do have a good day.